going.
And a podcast.
Faithful viewers, listeners, have a listen to that.
Big
podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
The portal has opened. The middle kind come to their death.
I have to save you, Sergei. I have to save her.
I'm just going to go about my day, doing bits and bobs. Oh, there's a knock on the door.
That's who is weird. It?
Creak. It's a baby.
Oh my god.
Welcome to the end of the Serpod Janecast Ventures. So long, oh. Farewell. Oh, Vidra saying goodbye. That's the end of it. That's the end. It's the end. It's the start, beginning of the end. The end is the beginning is the end, as Billy Corgan once said. But he also said the beginning is the end is the beginning, so you never know, you know. Can I remember which one is which? Which one is the Batman Forever one? Which one is the one where they're like, this is too slow, let's speed up. And let's speed up this as well. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I guess this is what the sky does to you. I guess I'm fine. Let's say that. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what else is fine?
I can't even come up with a jokey answer related to the plot of the episode because I'm generally like, what am I going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm in the deep bowels of some forgotten industrial factory in the UK running back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm feeling.
You're in a war between the flesh kind and the metal kind. We'll get. Sky, before, so I'm going to shake things a little bit. I've got a little kind of section for some stuff, but Sky, it's season 5 episode 1 and 2, technically it's episode 1. I thought before we get into anything, we could just talk about some of the context behind what was happening here. So obviously this was being filmed at a certain point during filming. Elizabeth Sladen dies. And
okay, yeah. So yeah. Let's just get into it. I have a question. So this has the unfortunate, I don't know what, the aura that you get when you have a work of art that was completed after someone in it died.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very specific aura that it's not like, for example, The Dark Knight doesn't have it because I feel like Heath Ledger died after the movie was done. But the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus has it. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, there's like a part of you that just can't help but be like, how much did they know at this point? How close? Because if you start to feel it in the performances and in the editing and in the pace, it feels like everyone is just like wrapping it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, and I'm like, did they put that tone before, or was that just how it felt on set?
Well, she,
but I feel like that would require, yeah, but that would require like getting into the personal history of Elizabeth Sladen, which might feel invasive.
Mm-hmm. I know that she, it was like, I think it was like 2 months and then she passed, so it was kind of sudden, I think, in terms of like we only found out like 2 months and then she was dead, which is obviously, you know, a hard thing, especially for anyone to deal with. But yeah, there is.
It was sudden.
It was sudden. Very sudden. And like, you know, it's the least important thing in the grand scheme of things, but because of how sudden it is, there are elements of these three stories that are very compromised, including the, we'll get to them because there's one in the last one too. We get these like two voiceovers, and it's one of the reasons why I hate, well, it's very easy to hate Rise of Skywalker, but one of the reasons why I really dislike it is because, you know, they Frankenstein this Carrie Fisher performance together from like the lead scenes and like alternate takes and stuff, where it feels like they're just saying words so they can use her audio, and it feels really, really kind of like, you know, skeevy. And in this.
Like, all of it? Is that what happened here? Or no,
what happened here is they had like her stuff shot. What happened is when they're doing like the voiceover for like, you know, like it's in space and like the one they do like every single season where it's like, you know, that one, I don't know. I know the one, the last one definitely is, I assume this one is too. They cobble it together from previous one she did. And you'll see when you watch the last one, the last one is very, very non-specific because they're clear, like, we got to get all the lines we can get that like would make sense for a farewell message. It just feels very disingenuous. But that doesn't be the only instance here of them being like, we got to just Frankenstein something together. Which is odd because you watch this one, you're like, this really feels like they're using every single bit of footage they have.
And right, right. But, yeah. And then you learn that that's what the intention was, which is so confusing.
Well, you know, that's what's confusing.
There's so much of it. There's this huge chunk in the middle that it feels like they had 2 minutes of Elizabeth Sladen footage. Mm-hmm. And so they had to like come up with reasons for Clyde and Ronnie to run back and forth for like a couple of minutes. And then Elizabeth Sladen came back and I was like, okay, was that like intent? And I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to make a huge deal out of it, but it just feels like it's kind of like hanging over the show. It's unavoidable. Well, just start going like, oh, did this happen after, before?
Well, what happened to the build up of this one is strange because Shannon Sullivan, who does these great kind of like, you know, guides to every episode of like, you know, the show and like all the spin-offs and stuff, with like all this trivia and stuff that they source from like magazines and stuff. They have this great kind of resource anyway, and this is all kind of pulled from their thing. But what was going to happen is, and we didn't talk about it last time, at the end of season four, they were going to write off Rani. Like the way they did it with Luke, they're going to have like Rani go off and do a journalism internship. And then she came up with the occasional kind of guest appearance. And that was apparently because they felt the kids were getting way too old. And they were like, we gotta like write these guys out because these actors are, you know, they're almost 20. I don't know if it was because they were like, it won't be believable, or if it's like, because we want them to be able to be relatable to like kids or something. But what they're going to do is basically, Rani's going to go, and then Geeta and Haresh were going to foster a kid called Alfie, and Alfie will be the new kind of kid in the gang. And they changed their mind, I think, because they're like
weird.
They changed their mind.
Wait, I have to ask you. Really quick. Because the way people talk about fostering in this episode, I'm like, Geeta is just way too okay with Sarah J. Be like, they sent me the wrong kid. And I'm like, I did see this movie that talked about how there was this thing where like kids from, oh my God, I forgot which country it was, would get sent to Britain to be fostered by British families for money. Is that
was us.
So like,
that was Ireland, I think. Well, many countries did that, but I know Ireland has a very, very horrible history with the Magdalen laundries. There's just like families that have lost like generations because these nuns were like, it's sinful for you to do this. We're going to kill you basically and take away your kid.
The question is, so I'm like, I guess then the perspective that people have over there of fostering is different then. Because when I hear that, when I hear, oh, my kid went to journalism internship is just called having a diary. when I hear that, I go, your kid went off to school, to college, and you're fostering another kid. That's a little bit weird. But that I got the sense that that's more normal in over there.
I don't know. I think it's normal in Sarah Jane Smith's world, and that's probably as good as we'll get. And because the thing is, as speaking of Sarah Jane world, what happens in this
that
world
is really good
is that the producers then are like, actually, we like this character too much. She's staying. What we'll do instead is Now, this is something. This is something that Sullivan says, and I'm kind of half quoting. They wanted Sarah Jane to have quote maternal qualities again, so they're like, we'll give her a young kid this time, like Luke, because Luke's gone, we need like a new kid. And they're going to do like a 2010 Christmas special. But I think Phil, I don't know if Phil Ford was going to write it or not, but he's going to turn. It's going to be the thing where Sarah gets this young kid kind of foisted on her, and it turns into a teenager overnight. The kid's going to be called Astra, and it would eventually be revealed that Astra was an invention of the Trickster, because the Trickster wanted to manifest in our world, and it would result in a battle between Sarah and the Trickster over Astra's soul, basically. Sarah would win, and then Astra would use her powers to banish the Trickster forever, and the implication was Trickster would never show up again on the show. Which sounds...
That would be too interesting. Yeah. I don't understand how you're like, and then they'll never show up again.
The thing is, yeah.
You get like the fucking master coming back every single time after dying forever.
Don't get rid of like your only interest in recurring guy. Yeah. But the BBC then were like, actually scratch that. We're basically going to film season 4 and 5 back to back. So no more Christmas special. Phil Ford was going to write Death of the Doctor. And then he was like, look, I'll write this new one, said, because they're gonna move this Christmas special from 2010 to this series 5 episode 1 in 2011, so everything has to be changed. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'll do that. And then Russell's like, well, I'll do Death of the Doctor then. But like, they obviously changed everything with Sky and stuff, and that brings us into Sky, because it was broadcast on the 3rd and 4th of October 2011, and it was written by Phil Ford and directed by Ashley Way. Ashley Way, of course, you know, coming back off from doing The Hungry Earth and Cold Blood, that brief kind of foray into the actual show before coming back to this. Special guest stars in this episode include Floella Benjamin as Professor Rivers, Christine Stephen Daly as Miss Myers, and Cyril Nye as the shopkeeper. And Christine Stephen Daly's most prominent role, and this took me a second to kind of comprehend outside of this thing, is probably as Samira Shabander, Saddam Hussein's second wife, in the BBC docudrama House of Saddam in 2008. So good for Miss Myers, I guess. But we get another debut here, which is Sinead Michael as Skye, who her kind of like her career is a bit weird, because she's in Clash of the Titans before this, the movie everyone kind of has forgotten about, and then IMDb is like, she didn't have any credits after 2018, and I googled, as you do, and I found her LinkedIn. And she's retired from acting it seems that she's now in events management or something. You're good for her. But a little synopsis for this one is that a big metal owl man crash lands on Earth, and a baby is dropped off at Sarah Jane's doorstep, and it turns out both are connected. The baby is Skye, a sentient weapon made by the, quote, flesh kind, in their war against the, quote, metal kind, and the plan is for her to blow up, basically. She turns into a 12-year-old, and then stops an ambush of the metal kind, which in turn robs her of her powers, and then Sarah Jane takes her in, and then Sarah Jane learns that Skye was dropped off to her by the shopkeeper, and his power to remember them. That's in the episode where Clyde fought Nazis.
Yeah.
And do you know the context behind the shopkeeper's appearance here?
The doctor was supposed to be there.
And Matt Smith was filming Christmas Carol. So they were like, who do we have that's just as mysterious? The shopkeeper. And then it's like, well, why is he here? And like, I don't know. He's just, he's kind of close to kind of being as mysterious a figure. We've talked around this, but this one, it feels like we're missing 70% of the context for anything that's going on.
Yeah, it's just so, the stuff that is there is very boring, because the conflict between the metal kind and the flash kind is boring, to the point that I feel like it takes so long for us to figure out what the deal was with the metal kind, the flesh kind, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have this thing where Mr. Smith doesn't even want to come out because Skye zapped him. So, and then by the time we do get the answer, of what the hell this is all about. It's like, okay. And I was like, and is there anything else you want to add to this? Is there a follow-up, a second beat that we want to add? Oh, no, that's it. And then they just, like, make her not be a bomb. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm glad I clocked in, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling I get with this episode. It feels like I clocked in for work and I did nothing the entire day. And then my boss came in at the end and said, like, great job today. And I'm like, I guess.
What it feels to me like is they're trying to do Invasion of the Bane again. But the problem is that Bane was like, one, he's a big guy, you know. But the problem with Bane is that it's a very easy thing to follow. You know, it's fairly good. It's just like this invading force is a clone. The clone gets adopted by a woman. You know, it's pretty simple. Whereas it's like the child is a weapon between these two warring factions.
Yes.
And our war that you'll see amounts to two actors yelling in a factory for half an hour. And then they get zapped and they go. And it's like, well, what is any of this? Like, what? It's meant to be like a Terminator riff, but like, there's no tension.
There's the moment when they're like, here they come. You can hear them. They're just outside the camera's point of view. The rest of the metal kind. Wow. And that was the moment where I was like, could they not shoot the final battle? And so they had to just like make something up with this actress. Did they not shoot like Sarah Jane zapping a robot with her lipstick? So they just had to have this poor woman like staring at nothing going, hear them, like, here they come, or whatever. I don't know. I feel like the problem here, if I can summarize it, is that the problem is that when they were like making up Luke, they're like, Luke's thing is that he's a little kid, but he's incredibly intelligent. Mm-hmm. And that's a character trait, right? That's a character trait because immediately you go, all right, let's put him at school. And at school, he's smarter than everyone, but he doesn't know what this is. What? Like, you know, all of the things that you can come up with that are story ideas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whereas with Sky, it's she's a kid who can zap things. And then I'm like, all right, so can she use those powers to zap other things? It just feels like that's the only thing she can zap things. That's it. And the fact that they were like building up to a reveal that she was going to be the Trickster's daughter. Did we talk about this? I think we mentioned it a little bit.
Astra was, she was.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem where they're doing that kind of plot, but they're doing it in one episode. And therefore it just feels like really kind of like squashed. Because they resolve everything.
Wasn't Sky also going to be?
I think it was just Astra and people. Because like they make it pretty clear that like she's been developed as a sentient weapon by Miss Myers and her friends, and because she gets like zapped again at the end, and it takes away her powers, and she's just normal. I think the implication is that like she was made by them and thing, and then people heard the Astra story and they were like, oh well, they were going to reveal that the Trickster was behind it, even though
it was, she's even more boring. Is that where we're ultimately
it doesn't help that Sinead Michael is I'm trying to be kind to someone who was, I believe, 11 when they filmed this. But it maybe helps that she feels so alien in the role, because I just do not feel like she's very good. And she's better in later episodes, but here it really feels like they wrote a 12-year-old as like a 6-year-old, and then they just never really kind of delve into her as a character. And it really just does feel like it feels like they don't know where to go once, you know, Phil Ford has to rework this entire arc into an hour-long thing, basically. And as a result, it just feels like they're really, like, running to dead ends every 2 seconds. And like you're saying, like, you know, they have this all this like off-screen stuff. It really just does feel like, it just feels like there's a lot of ambition that they can't match. And instead of trying to kind of work it to their level, mm-hmm. they're like, we'll just do this. And then, you know, the kids will find, because like there's so much weird tonal stuff. Like I said this before, but like this mm-hmm. this feels like what K-9 probably became, because there's so much here where it feels like just completely tonally off from like where everything was before in the show. Which I guess is because also they're introducing a new character, but like if like the guest characters feel way too wacky for what we've had before. Like the mm-hmm. the homeless guy who's like,
I want to listen to the archers.
Yeah, and it's like, and the scientist guy who gets like possessed, who's like, if they like they're like they have all these characters like pitch up like 110%. It feels almost like they were like, we had this new kid companion. We need it to be more like a show that like a 6-year-old could watch and be like, oh my god, look at all this stuff. Which is like also very like demeaning and degrading towards like 6-year-olds that they're being like, you know, this is what they want. But like it is just very bizarre, and like you can tell, especially when they're like introducing an intergalactic war, like you can tell they're really shooting for something they can't possibly do and kind of hoping they can skirt by on, you know, the kind of charm and stuff, but the charm isn't really there, unfortunately for me. I mean, and there is stuff I like. Like I think the metal kind design is really cool. Like just that's one thing I think they really throughout the years really aced was like creature
design. Monster designs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's ones later on the season that are really good as well. But it is just
it's a good design, but the problem is that that like the only thing the metal kind does is like get tied to a wall. it shows up, goes invisible, then gets tied to a wall, and that's all it does.
Yeah,
and it's like that's a cool design, but you just got fucking tied to a wall. I don't know what you want me to do. Like that's all you did.
It gets tied to a wall, and also like vaguely menaces. It gets
told that like yeah.
That's the thing, Miss Myers. Talk about, you know, we talk about Andy Kaufman being like a real anti-humor maverick.
Oh my god!
One of my favorite bits of anti-humor is her saying, "My name is Miss Myers." Clyde saying, "That doesn't sound like much of an alien name," and then she says, "We don't spell it the same way," which isn't even a joke because, like, what are you even joking about there? Like, what does that even mean? We don't spell it the same way. Like, because in the credits, it's spelled M-Y-E-R-S, which is how it's spelled. Like, Mike Myers spells it that way. So, it's like, what is the joke?
You're right, actually. Yeah.
What is the joke? But like, yeah, they... Miss Myers... Mrs. Myers, sorry, she's married. Doesn't have... And there's no threat to this at all, because no one feels... There's no, like, real sense of... threat in terms of plot, because no one, you don't get enough to be like, okay, we know exactly what the like conflict is here. We don't know Sky well enough, or we don't, and like they don't really do a good enough job of like endearing you to the character to be like worried that she might die if something happens. So it just does ultimately feel very much like a damn squib. Because it's just like, well, mm-hmm. you know, what does any of this matter if, like, you know, we don't know the character? Because this is the kind of story they do with Luke in, like, a finale. Like, the series one finale where Nora, like, the two Slitheen show up feels like mm-hmm. a story where you feel the threat because you're like, oh, Luke's been, like, taken away. Sarah's in trouble. Yeah. Whereas here it's like, well, we just met this kid and we don't really know much about her. Why would we care if,
yes.
you know, these two are coming through? Especially when like they give up, it feels like they give up on the war stuff so quickly. Because I feel like mm-hmm. again they realize we can't really do much with this on our budget and on our schedule, so we just kind of have to trust that people will be like, oh, we'll get that, you know.
They were kind of fucked, yeah. They were just kind of like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand why they did it, release these episodes, but it really does feel like. It really feels like, I don't know, maybe it should have been just one episode. I don't know. I don't want to be like, maybe we should not show all these people's hard work because everyone else worked in this. Everyone else put their entire Sarah Genusi into this. It doesn't feel good to say, hey, maybe don't show this. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It is a situation where, and it's never happened again, right? It's never happened again because when John Hurt died, they just recast the War Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And when they eventually run out of Tom Baker recordings 30 years after his eventual death, they'll probably recast the Fourth Doctor, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, not saying they should have recast again. No, I'm not saying they should have recast Sarah Jane. I feel like maybe this is a thing I can say with the benefit of hindsight. I was there. Maybe I would have been like, you know, maybe we just make one episode and we say goodbye, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they did recast Sarah Jane.
They had
her
daughter plays her now. Yeah. I think it was the compromise was it's a family member and they'll approve. Because I know like with this, they were thinking like, do we release these episodes? And her family were like, do it to like honor her memory. Like, you know, for all like the hard work that people have done. And, you know, for her, these three episodes have to go out just for people to, you know, have that closure, I guess. But yeah, I think as well, and I don't think they would have done this. I don't think the cast would have gone for this, but they could have continued as like, you know, the kids are investigating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're,
I don't think they would have. Yeah.
Yeah. I think both cast and crew probably would have been like, no, let's just leave it here. Speaking of people leaving it here, the shopkeeper, you know, he shows up with the baby. He doesn't really explain much. Disappears with the parish, never seen again. Does kind of feel like a bit of a, you know, hat in the hat kind of thing where you don't, like, you could have easily had, like, Sarah Jane just find the baby or the baby just appear in, like, the back garden or something, you know. Baby crash lands in the back garden, maybe, rather than it being, like, you know, this kind of small mystery that kind of gets solved at the end. Like, obviously, we don't have a clear idea if they were going to pursue a plot with the shopkeeper and stuff. And you know
what the shopkeeper bit reminded me of?
What?
And I know this was not intentional. It reminded me of, I'll park that for later.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that. That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of a certain someone saying, I'll park that for later, proceeds to immediately die. That's what that felt like.
Mm-hmm. But unlike the boss, the shopkeeper delivers a baby at 5:34 a.m., which, you know, talk about, you know, an odd time for him to pick to bring a baby to her doorstep. You know, he could have waited till she was awake. Yeah, but you know, the only other note I have is that this features the two dumbest security guards in the world. Who don't know, there's a very loud car pull up behind them before the security gate, which is pretty loud itself, opens up. I know there's car alarms going off, but like it is the cars are all very far away from them compared to like the car behind them.
Even the bit with the security guards feels like, oh my God, we have to do something. Like, can we get some extras on costumes to just stand completely still and be like, oh yeah, they all got zapped. Nobody say a word, so we don't have to pay you.
The thing, like, as well is that it's a bit like another Luke-centric story. I think it's the same one that we talked about before, or the series one finale, where the kid, Slaveen, is like in the front. He's like in the front of the van, and the like they go up to like this gate, and the security guard's like, "Hello, Toby, you're here early." And then he zaps him with like a ray. He's like, "Ah!" Like, that's much more dynamic. That's much more interesting than Sarah Jane sets off car alarms and drives past these two guys who somehow don't hear a car behind them. I know this is nitpicking, but it's also like this. There's just so much in here where it feels like they're like, "Yeah, you know, something happens mm-hmm. here, and then we move on. Which is a shock. The last story in the season, and I know you haven't seen it yet, but you watch that and you're like, this is a very bizarre artifact of television. But the next story is like maybe the best Sarah Jane story. And it really just feels like a shame that like you get like these two interesting stories preceded by something that just is not interesting and is not really like indicative of a production that was, you know, engaged. And maybe they weren't, maybe they were worried, because I know these like come out after she's passed. So like and mm-hmm. obviously like their minds are probably elsewhere while they're making them as well.
Yeah,
but
I understand. It's like as a tribute to Elizabeth Sladen, it works, but that's not the way it's presented. The way it's presented is it as a Sarah Jane adventure story, and as a Sarah Jane adventure story, it's really boring. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's just not great. But like I said, next week is superb, and it's the most mature and layered thing they'll ever do, and it gives someone an incredible spotlight to really show how great they could be as an actor. But for now, we're left with the flesh kind and the metal kind having a war in a factory. Although Clyde does actually do this is another thing. Clyde does some clownery. Which feels very insensitive to both Sarah Jane and also the Pied Piper, you know, given he was a clown and
mm-hmm.
Sarah Jane's scared of clowns. And it's, you know, you hate to see Bradley Walsh get mocked so cruelly by and also Professor Rivers, you know, we hardly knew ye.
Professor Rivers is such. I think it's so funny to have a character whose name is 2/3 of another character's name from the main show.
Professor River.
I love
it's Professor River.
It's literally Professor River S. Come on! Every time they go Professor Rivers, I was like, come on, just give her like a different name.
Oh, but I feel like she could have been someone they utilize a bit more as well. But anyway, I think that's about it. So Curse of Clyde Lanner is up next. People enjoy that one. I'm looking forward to talking about that one. I'm looking forward to never watching Sky again, I think, because one, it's too sad to watch and be like, you know, just knowing what was happening behind the scenes, and two, it's also quite boring. Yeah.
Sorry.
Bye and enjoy the Factory War, which is probably a TV show.
Next time on Pod Tour Who Cast.
Isn't it pretty?
I think the word you're looking for is creepy.
Do you know anything about curses?
Get out now.
What's going on? I don't get it.
Get out! You get away from me!
Leave my daughter alone.
Ron, we're mates.
I hate you!
This is not happening.
And that's what I'm going to do to you.
I advise you to keep your distance from him.
Please. I want to make a complaint. I don't ever want to hear his name again.